Are they asking a little too much for Dragon Ball Sparking's DLC? And are they finally done laying the groundwork for the finale of Dragon Ball Daima? Let's talk about all that today.
No, you got a lot of energy, bro. I didn't think you were going to come into this one that hot.
I'm standing up. Dude, my back has been killing me. I pulled something while lifting. And so I found that standing up helps me, helps that not hurt as bad. So I'm standing. And when I stand, bro, like, I don't know, there's just a little extra energy going on. You know what I mean? Like, it just is what it is.
No, I mean, I get you, dude. I mean, you got that standing desk. You might as well use it, you know?
The next time you hear, what do you say to we doing the entire marathon of podcast just standing and we actually hold, like, interview mics the whole time?
I actually would fucking hate that. I saw...
I didn't know where you were going with that.
The podcast I watched, the Super Mega Cast, they switched to mics that you have to hold. And I was like reporter mics, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at that, and I still watch the podcast sometimes. I'm like, dude, what the like, why would you choose that? Like, it does look better. I get it. But I'm like, holy fuck, that must be so annoying. Like, the whole time?
I think.
I don't know if maybe if it, well, it like, eventually fades away, but I feel like I would just be, like, I have a desk.
I don't think you think about it that much. I think you would just hold the mic and talk into it. I really don't think it'd be something you'd think about a ton.
Maybe. I have a desk mount, and I so often, I fucking fidget with it. I move it back and forth. I feel like if it was in my hand, I'd be doing like spins, like I'd spin upside down.
Bro, be doing spins on that thing.
I know. I really think I would be.
I do think, so, you know, most of you guys can figure this out, and we've talked about many times, but when Dotto is at the Santa Monica studio, like, we film 20 podcasts. So I think in that case, we would get very tired of holding a mic the entire time. Like, that would get real old. What I mean, because we film bonus and we film a pod. So we film for like 40-ish hours when he's here in the span of a few days. And so I think we would get real tired of holding it in that case. But if we were meeting like on a weekly, like, I don't know, I don't think it'd be that bad. I don't think it'd be that bad if you were just shooting a one-off podcast. But yeah, I think like recording for 10 hours a day and having to hold the mic the entire time, I'd do that. Why we I love it. Dotto, we had a lot of discussion last week on last week's podcast. Of course, they were also talking about episode 15 of Dragon Ball Daima, because it was definitely an episode for sure. But we talked a ton about the DLC, because we were recording that mere days before the DLC was going to drop. Of course, it's now dropped. We now have had access to it. And the thing we talked about a lot was the pricing. And the way I priced it was breaking down if you bought the season pass. Because if you buy the season pass, it's $35 and you're getting access to all three DLC drops. However, we've now seen that they are charging $17.99 to just get the Beast Gohan superhero DLC by itself. Is that a little too much, Dotto?
A little too much. That's fucking outrageous. Not only because, one, I was going to say this to you right before we started the podcast, but one... I get that the season pass is supposed to just be like, oh, we get them a little higher on the first price, then they get everything else at like a discount. But like, usually it's like if you want to buy three out of five items, you know, it's a discount. This one, if you want to buy one, you might as well buy the fucking season pass. It's just completely not even close to even worth it. So with the season pass, it's a little more whatever, right? It's bearable. But what was it for just the one? It was 18, right?
It's $17.99 to just get the superhero, the Hero of Justice pack.
First of all, we talked about this a long time ago, and this is how everybody looks at it. A few people on Twitter told me they don't look at it like this, just through their responses, but we did not get... How many new characters are they saying we got?
I figured that's where you were going.
Yes.
I'm in the camp that it is not 11. It is 5.
It is not 11. It is definitely not 11. And I agree with you. It is just the 5. It's Gohan, Gamma again. And then honestly, even counting Cell Max is a little aggressive. Cell Max is nice to have.
He's a character though. I mean, he is a character.
I look, I know he's technically a character, but I'm a YouTuber. I make DLC videos. And to be honest, I don't think I'm making a video on Cell Max, because I'm not going to play a giant for that long. I'm just not going to do it. He's cool. He definitely is cool. So he does count, but if you want to be a hater, and if a hater told me Cell Max doesn't count, I'm not going to pick that point to argue with him on, is what I'm saying. And then you got Piccolo. And that's it. So saying 11, I mean, dude, this is the same old conversation we had. We're both on the right side of history. Objectively, it's like, that's Gohan, not four Gohans. That it doesn't work like that. Especially when I low key, most of Gohan was pretty uneventful and boring. Like, his transformations are cool. They are
his
sick.
Transformation in all of his transformations are really, really nice. I really especially like the Ultimate Gohan transformation. The Ultimate Gohan transformation is very, very cool. And
his
Ultimate Gohan counterpart, way saucier and way more fun to play than his Majin Buu Saga Ultimate Gohan, to me, personally.
I would agree. And I also like just his base intro superhero, like he comes down from the ship animation. That's pretty good, yeah, too.
His
transformations are nice.
His intro is crazy, but then like he comes down with so much like aura, and then he's also like, guys, he starts being like his sort of glasses wearing Gohan, but he comes down all pissed off and like, boom, dog.
I didn't think about that, but you are right. He has the "you just kidnapped my daughter" intro anger, but then that's not always the same energy. Boom.
Oh my god, I can't quite see with my glasses on. Is that who is that? Android 17?
But anyway, $18 is a lot. I saw some people thinking it was okay, but we didn't get any fucking stages. I didn't even think about that. The Dragon Ball games have been so bare minimum with this shit. They're not gaslit, but I've accepted it. Not that I want to, but it's unfortunate that I have. We got no new stages and I didn't even question it. In my mind, I was like, why? I didn't even think about it.
I'm the same way when we were reacting. Like, literally, the only thing that I pointed out when I was, like, reacting to that trailer was that I thought a Pan would be one of the characters. I thought, like, that was the only thing I paid attention to. But, yeah, when we saw that final screen, and there was there's actually a book club comment that I guess I'll go ahead and bring up about now, because it relates to kind of what we're talking about, is Sage Hansen. We do a book club section, which will be usually at the end, but this is so relevant to what we're talking about. But Sage says, I think the biggest waste in Sparking, other than the new stages, is the lack of customization. Why do we even have an accessory menu if it's only used for like 15 characters? I feel like they had more planned but rushed the game out, which is fine, but release customization is free updates. And this doesn't make or break the game for me. It's just the game is fantastic, but I would love some customization drops. And the fact that the only customization... I think it's really stupid we can't use customization for the Gohan from the other Gohan fits. But then also the only customization that came with this pack outside of the characters is Piccolo's. And then the custom battles, which I did not do, but I watched Iron Kane play them, and they seemed really bare minimum. You did them,
they are
right,
bare minimum. I did do all three of them. I'm uploading a video on that, and they are bare minimum. They're just custom. What they were a little interesting. The Goku one was kind of interesting. You had to like deflect Ki Blast in order not to lose. So it was cool, but they are just custom matches, and they don't have voice. If they had like voice acting,
yeah, they
and,
have voices is like,
and or maybe if they rough. Were more what if. When I was playing them on stream, like the way it's worded is like Beast Gohan's like, yeah, you could like Goku says like, I'll have to keep pushing, maybe I can get that form, and then he like charges up or something, and for a split second I was like, am I about to fight Goku Beast? Like, I don't know, stupid fucking idea. I thought for a second they were gonna do like the Gohan Black thing again. I was like, no shot, and no, it didn't happen. But Damn, they were okay. I would not list them on future DLCs, though. That is disrespectful to include that as, like, they're fun. You can keep making them if you want. Just, I wouldn't market them. I would market anything else.
Now, I do just want to bring up a couple of things that I thought about once we finally saw the true price. So it's $18 to buy just this singular pack, or $35 to buy the entire season pass. Now, we do know that there are two packs coming. But in the details for the season pass, they say there are more than 20 characters. We now have 11 of them, because whether we want to believe they're five characters or not, we know that they're counting those as like when you like right now I'm on the Steam page for the Justice pack, and they do say 11 playable characters. So we do know that they do see this as 11 characters of the entire season pass.
Of over 20.
So that means
we're so cooked.
That means it's under 30. So I'm wondering, it's probably not going to be $18 each DLC, because it's probably a bit prorated a little bit. So my guess is that the Daima packs are going to be even less and will probably cost less. So
yeah, we're cooked.
Which then it's like, well, who do they leave out? So we know Glorio's one, we know Vegeta's one, and obviously Goku will get some transformations, which will count as characters because we have base Daima Goku, but we don't have any of his transformations. Like
we're so good.
Vegeta goes all the way through his, so he would count as probably four slots, right? All the way up to three.
That yeah, because Vegeta and then Vegeta Super Saiyan one, and then three.
I don't think he's gonna get a two.
Okay. I don't think they'll give him a two.
Okay, so then he would take up three of the slots. Glorio would be four. You're gonna guess that Piccolo might get one. And then
he hasn't done jack shit in Daima for.
I guess
he is complete fodder. Maybe
you think Pansy? No. You think Pansy gets one?
I wouldn't even count, dude. To be honest, like, isn't it kind of crazy? This kind of brings it more conversation more to Daima, but it's kind of crazy how little the gang has mattered. Like, it was kind of pitched. I guess it was a leak. It was pitched to me with the early leaks is like these four people were going to go on an adventure. But Pansy, Glorio's been the pilot, so he and Goku maybe. But like Pansy and Supreme Kai really have influenced the journey to a bare minimum.
They had more influence early individual on. They had more influence early on. But yeah,
but I through think... individual actions though, like Pansy was kind of just like got us a plane, met the king.
So we're at 11. We know that we have 11, and they've told us more. They told us more than 20. So if we include Vegeta and Glorio, who are guaranteed, literally, they are the picture of the Daima DLC. That's four characters at least, right? With the three versions of Vegeta and Glorio. Then you know they're definitely going to give us a Super Saiyan Goku. That is a guaranteed character. And we don't know if he's going to go three or not.
We can assume.
I will assume he's going to go three. So let's say we're going to get an SSJ 3
Daima
Goku. Then you have the Majin Buu.
Majin Buu and Ku.
You think they're going to get easy. I would say Tamagami three, 1 through 3 should each have one, yeah? Wouldn't you say?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so you want to go ahead and throw out Do and Ku as characters as well?
Yeah, they're definitely in there.
Okay, I'm putting them. All right, so...
And then you got to leave a space for Fusion. We don't know who Fusion is yet, we're going to meet Fusion.
Yeah. Do we want to go out on a limb and assume that the Fusion will have at least a base state and then some powered up state too?
Yeah, we're getting greedy with that one, but yeah, I'll say that's a pretty safe bet.
Okay, so right now I have Vegeta. That's so
I'll okay. Just, once,
yeah, Vegeta Super Saiyan, Vegeta Super Saiyan yep. 3, Glorio,
yeah,
yep. Super Saiyan Goku. That's 5.
Yeah,
Super Saiyan 3 Goku, Tamagami yep. 1, 2, 3. Do that's 10. So that would be 21 we're already characters. Cooked. That's so 21
that's
characters.
That's over 20. We're already cooked.
And then Ku, the fusion, and a powered up state for the fusion because we don't know what exactly they'll do. That would
yeah.
That
we're
would put
we're
us
so
at
cooked,
23.
Dude. We're already juiced. Like we're already done with the season pass.
Oh man. Okay. Yeah, dude. Oh man. How quickly do you think we're getting Sparking to? You know, like how quickly do you think that's happening? Like,
I don't think it is. I don't think, and also, not that I think Sparking is a bad game, but I just think the unfortunate truth of, I don't know why I'm saying this. I don't know who this is true for because they can still make money with Sparking Zero. But from what I've seen on the internet as a whole, not just the Dragon Ball scene or not just the Sparking scene, but from the internet as a whole, is that in order for a game to be popular, it needs to go of the more live service route in order for it to have the staying power for people to feel
bro,
like they're going to
like
come back and keep dropping
right
money.
Now, man, bro, sounds like
it's,
PlayStation.
Dude, it's just, I mean, dude. it sucks. It literally, I'm not even saying that's a good thing. And I'm not saying single player games can't succeed, but they would have to be single player. I feel like the internet looked at Sparking Zero as like a game. Oh shit, this is gonna be the game I play for the next year or six months even. They're like, oh shit, this is gonna be the game. When really it's like a game that you and your boy throw on maybe like when you're done with Call of Duty, you're like, fuck, I'm kind of bored of this shit right now. You wanna play Sparking Zero real quick? Like it's that kind of niche. It's you throw it on at a party, your friends come over, you put it on. Or maybe you play a few online matches or something.
It is the perfect party game. Like, that's what it is. Like, it is literally meant
yes,
to be thrown
not,
on the TV.
Not even in the offensive sense of
yeah,
the word.
No. I don't even know why someone would see... I don't think it's that offensive to call it a party game.
I get the hate. Because, I come from the fighting game scene. Party game, that's something you throw at Smash Bros. Players. You know, that's like... party game just means like, oh, your shit's not even competitive, bro. Like, that's not even a... I'm not, but I get what you mean. I'm not saying it's bad. Like,
yeah, I don't, you know, mean Smash it in like a derogatory way. Mario I just Party. I mean it in like a very like endearing way. Like it is exactly how you just described it to me. Like, I literally put it on the other night, hanging out in the living room, and like my boys are just like watching me play Sparking and stuff, and like they were having a blast. So I don't know. I do think though, anytime these new anime games come out, people put, and I think, and I'm guilty of this too, but we put almost too much pressure on that game that it like, it's never going to live up to that. Like, it's never going to live up to probably what we want it to be. And we should just let it be what it is. And Sparking is a fantastic game. I don't know. I really like Sparking Zero, but, I also am guilty of not playing it for like 2 months. Like, I didn't even check out the patch that dropped in December, and some people will act like that's like a bad thing, but there's nothing wrong with coming back for the DLC. That's like the whole point. That is the live service-y aspect of it, is it got the quote unquote live service type update. You come back and you check out all the new cool stuff, which is 11 new characters and all of that.
11. So. Yeah, I think in order for Dragon Ball, and this could be biased, I think a fighting game is fine because of the genre around fighting games and the fact that it is already a niche community. People don't play fighting games because they don't like fighting games, and that's fine. But Fighters felt so good because, like,
is it that niche though? I mean, we're seeing some of these fighting games like really sell some pretty substantial.
Well, they can sell, like, Fighters sold good, but I mean, as in, for some reason, it feels more fine for a fighting game to be niche because people understand, like, people on the internet, and I just mean this in a pure internet shit talk culture kind of way. People will see the numbers of Sparking, but if they saw those same numbers for a fighting game, they would get it. Not right away, but they wouldn't immediately judge the game. Like, I saw a comment, Nano, about Sparking Zero that pissed me the fuck off, dude. I actually got rage baited by this shit. It was like, how did this shit fall off as fast as the JJK game? And that to me is like, dude, that is so insulting that you just said. Like, the JJK game was trash. That shit was garbage. Yeah.
Holy shit.
You want to talk about a fucking, like, using an IP to just make a quick buck, and you're calling Sparking Zero that is insulting shit right there. Sparking Zero came out with a huge roster of characters, good animations, reuse all this, and all the only crime I think it's guilty of is that it is exactly like BT3. And I've always had this beef with internet gamers, bro. People are like, oh no, it was better back then. Sparking Zero is BT3 to most people. I don't know about the BT3 competitive community, which was a niche, a percentage of a percentage. But to most people, to me and to my friends and to people like, you know, Rhyme or Dion, who it's like Sparking Zero is BT3. It is the game, but just better with better online. And people are talking about it like this because the culture has changed and what it means to be that kind of game has changed. I do think it could have used a better story mode, though. I do always think that. I don't think it would have changed anything. Maybe more like mission mode, side stuff like that. BT3 had some good versions of that.
Yeah, anyway. The story mode definitely leaves a lot to be desired. I still think in some aspects, and you know, I'm sure they get some leeway when they're developing, because, like, obviously the people, you know, CC2 made Kakarot and Spike did not make Kakarot, but I'm sure Bandai is relaying to them, like, hey, Kakarot exists and we are consistently dropping DLC. We even dropped the, you know, new gen update. Like, it is native to PS5, Series X, all of that. So I'm sure to some extent they're like, hey, like, don't focus as much on the story, because we live in a different era where we are still actively selling copies of this story driven based Dragon Ball game, where there's literally Daima DLC dropping soon for that. So they're probably telling them to not necessarily neglect it, but like, it's not the primary focus. Like the primary focus, I'm sure, when they sat down to make this game was, we need lots of characters. The entire thing that has been the identity of the Budokai Tenkaichi series in every discussion ever is its vast roster of characters. And that was probably the true focus for that game. And the story was like maybe number like 3 or 4 down the list of like important things. I will say, and I think I said this last week, but even it, still, the more I played this week, I'm like, man, it'd have been so cool if Superhero would have been base and we could have played through the Superhero like story mode, and Piccolo would have had like those additional fights, because he would have been able to fight the Gammas and do all of that in an actual story mode.
Yeah, them saving that for DLC was purely just that was just a season pass seller right there. That was it.
I'm in a different boat than you, Dotto. I think because based on of Futani, I believe that's the producer's name. Some of the way he interviewed, like there is an interview. I'm not going to try to find it right now, but there was an interview where I distinctly remember him saying, "This is the beginning of essentially a, like they're calling it Zero because even though yes, it is a sequel to BT3, it is the beginning of something new." And I fully believe that they are looking at this as the Xenoverse to Xenoverse 2. So I think that we will have a sequel to this game within the next 2 to 3 years. I don't think we're sitting here in 2032 still getting DLC drops for this game specifically. I think if they're going to do that, they do it with either the sequel or the additional sequel. Like, I imagine they went into this with a plan to either at least make 2 or 3 of these games. That's my, like, because now that it's made, it's just a bit of refinement. Like, I hope it doesn't get the Raging Blast treatment, because Raging Blast 1 looks way better to me than Raging Blast 2. So I hope it doesn't, like, transform the way the characters look. I hope they stay the same, but a bit of refinement, you know, a bit of refinement on mechanics, a bit of refinement maybe on a little bit of the visuals, because it still blows my mind that there are characters like Jiren that he released in that state and they haven't patched it. He just transforms on screen with no transition. Like, he goes from base.
They do that a lot. Yeah.
There's several. I fucking hate that. He's just the one that lives right free in my mind because it just does not look good. So like little things like that. And then also, and I bring this up every time, but Dotto, like, I think that more people would also play if there was a cooperative style experience that you could have, like 2v2s, 3v3, stuff like that. Like, I think
that would be good.
I think that is something that is missing from this game. I don't know. And I could be wrong. Maybe that's a very niche thing, but
I don't think you're wrong on that at all.
I think, like, cause a big thing for you guys, the three idiots, are those raid videos. Like, if there was a mode where I could queue up with 2 or 3 other people and go fight like this crazy ass boss, but like in a sparking way, that sounds fire, but that doesn't exist in the game. You can't have multiple characters on the screen that aren't forcing off against each other. So I don't know. I think that there are things they can build on, and I'm hoping that's what happens, but who knows?
Last thing I want to say is I do think that, whatchamacallit, I just think it's, the last thing I'll say is I don't think Sparking Zero is, I don't think this formula, mm-hmm. like, I'm going to play it, I'm going to keep enjoying it, and I do think I'd be down for some more sequels, especially if they can do a Sparking Zero tag team, like Budokai Tenkaichi tag team. That would be a dream Dragon Ball game for me, just one of my dream Dragon Ball games, because that would, like, the one that game on the PSP, that shit was sick looking, dude, and it still is really fun. I played it with Dion online, because he had, like, an emulation for it. It was really complex shit, but it was so fun. I think people would enjoy that. But still, like, you brought up the customization thing way earlier, and I'm going to say this. This reminds me of the microtransaction things. Anime games and live service will not... It turns out they were really on their shit when they came up with the idea of Xenoverse, because that is the only way forward for this company, for this IP anyway. If they want to have a foot in the live service thing and they want to keep stepping, other than you can drop DLC characters with fighting games and that works just fine. That'll keep people on the hook. That'll get people to buy into new additions. But people want to customize their stuff. They want to be able to put anything on, and they're never, ever, ever going to allow that with their characters and IPs. So guess what? They allowed it in Xenoverse because of their own original characters, and they could just put some outfits on. And it was a nice little loophole. It kept all the businessmen happy, all the right holders happy.
I just don't know why they care so much about if easy Goku to is monetize. In a different fit. I just don't understand why they care. It doesn't, like, hey, it's listen, in a video man. Game, man. Like,
nope, never gonna happen. I'm so black-pilled on anime games in general and live-servicifying their games. It's horrible. I watched the My Hero Academia, the Rumble. Fun game, still going on, which I'm surprised. I definitely thought that game was gonna die earlier than later. But are they still revealing characters that are just from the work of, like, the official sort, like, openings and endings and shit, or, like, one-off mangas? I'm like, dude, how, dude? Why, dude? This is so stupid. Oh, my God.
They're not Fortnite-pilled enough, man.
They need to be. They definitely need to be.
Or, some of that Fortnite shit though does bug me, man. I saw a very funny reel, and it was like, I just died to this, and it was Godzilla wearing Hulk hands and wearing some Jordans, bro. And I was like, wearing a cape, and I was like,
yes. Yeah, to be fair, you know what? Actually, I played my first game of Call of Duty, Black Ops 6, in a while, and I booted it up. And it was like the Squid Games 2 themed. I was like, this is the corniest shit I have ever seen in my fucking life. And I get it. I mean, you know, we talked about card games that one time. I think crossovers are corny. Like, they can be so easily corny. I think Fortnite kind of surpasses it because it's so much crossover. Like, it doesn't really matter to me. And, like, give them credit. Their art style, they have found anything art style. That shit looks easy because it's genius. Call of Duty is what it looks like when you do it lazy. That shit is fucking atrocious to me. It's like, you can play as the red light, green light robot girl from Squid Games. I'm like, this is anybody buying this? Are any of the...
They are, unfortunately, 16 to, but it does not...
I can't believe it.
Dude, we need to play Prop Hunt, though. Prop Hunt is so much fun.
I did play that. I also... And the game modes, even though I thought they were corny, I did play the red light, green light game mode.
I played it with Balvin and Megan Thunder.
They had a pentathlon game mode where it just switched the game mode every, like, couple minutes. I thought that was pretty fun, too. But just the way they put it in, I was like... Holy dis! You want to? Sometimes the internet just takes shit way too serious. But playing that, it just feels like I am playing brand product. I will clap now. Yes. Thank you.
It fills it more so than others, dude. Did I send you that reel I saw of Peter Griffin versus the fucking chicken? Did I send you that?
Yes. Dude, that was pretty cool.
That is fire, bro. Like, that shit right there, bro.
Yes, dude.
Fortnite can be fun. But yeah, when I saw that thing of like Godzilla wearing the Hulk hands and the I don't necessarily like the update to sell us Jordans. I don't know. Some of it, you can pull it off in some cases, but...
I think it was only funny for the cell images.
Yeah. I did want to bring up one last thing before we dive into today's episode review. And that was, I was looking back because I was curious. So fighters characters were $5, right?
Oh yeah. I got into this on Twitter.
Fighters Pass 2 comes with 6 characters and it's $25, or you can buy them each individually as $5. Now, if you go by our math and you say that the Sparking DLC is only 5 characters, and you take 5 into 18, that's like basically $3.50 a character. So it actually is cheaper than a fighter's character. To you, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about that math? So it's basically $3.50 a character. It obviously gets cheaper if you say 11, but that's some Bandai math over there. That's not real math. So
I mean, listen, I'll just say it. Some guy on Twitter was like, you're getting blank for a character, like fighters cost more or something. You paid $5 for one fighters character. And to me, it's like, dude, that is like the most incomparable shit. That's like saying like, Nano, I'll draw you 5 drawings and you only got to give me $12 for it. And then you get the fucking Mona Lisa for like 15. It's like, it's not even close to comparable. Fighting it, the amount of thought and thinking and balancing and playtesting that has to go into a fighting game character compared to a Sparking Zero character is inconceivable to the people that play these games. And also it changes that I buy the new DLC character, you don't, in Sparking Zero. What changes for you playing Gohan? You're playing Ultimate Gohan. I'm playing Ultimate Gohan from the superhero. What changes in that game for you? The answer I'm looking for is nothing. You are just going to play your character and I'll just mash into you. You're playing the exact same game. If you're playing, let's say, Goku and I'm playing fucking Daima Goku, the way you play defense, entirely different against Daima Goku. The way you respond on defense, if I do a move that's minus this and you could respond with that, or do I have an option for that? Completely fucking different. It opens, like, it makes the game different for you too. Like, it's not even comparable. It's not like Fighters is actually, you know, it's not super crazy because like Street Fighter would be a more one-on-one game and like you could do all that. But I think fighting game DLC characters are a great way to monetize the experience. Honestly, I do. And costumes. I think fighting games are just peak, bro. They are the best way to monetize video games because you pay for a good experience that that goes up, and even if you don't pay for it, you're still getting the good experience because you're playing against them and you get to like see and interact with new shit. So good. Anyway,
I genuinely thought, by the way, that wasn't supposed to be a layup. I
appreciate it, bro. Because I want to dunk.
It's not comparable. It is not comparable.
I don't think it's comparable at all. And also, and this is just because I'm biased, I genuinely, this is what I think they underestimate. If they wanted to come back and they wanted to drop a fighter's character on us, you get one character for $20. I'll take that every day, every single fucking day. One fighter's character, $20. You got me sold a million times over. Most people, I don't think so. But I do think most people would pay $15 for a character. I really do. They'd skip it, but I think you're still getting a considerable amount of sales.
Am I misremembering fighters, or whenever they introduced a character, did they have an interaction with every character?
Not every character, but they would have like, you know, I'd say it would be equivalent to Sparking Zero. I think Sparking Zero does that pretty good, too.
It feels a little weird whenever, like, one of the new characters in Sparking has a line that is directly to the character they're opposite of, but then the character they're opposite of, whose base game, does not have a line for them.
Yeah, that did happen a few times to me, actually, and it confused the fuck out of me. That did not happen in Fighters.
Orange Piccolo specifically has lines to other people, and they won't respond back. They have just generic.
One of them I got was really bad. Like a Vegeta was responding to Gohan. Clearly, I think the game recognized him as Gohan, but just Gohan, not necessarily Superhero Gohan. And then Superhero Gohan acted like he did not know who the fuck Vegeta was. What? I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like he just said something generic, and Vegeta pointed out like what he said. The whole interaction was fucked. Because Vegeta recognized him. He was like, you need to train. Like, you've gotten soft. And then, I don't know. It made no sense. I didn't think the interaction worked at all. So I've definitely been noticing some weird intros. But I still think overall they did okay with that.
No.
Anyway, bring back fighters characters.
Yeah. No, I ultimately, I think they did a really good job with the DLC. I just think that $18 is a bit much.
I would say, and that's crazy a lot.
Yeah. And because like the other thing too, this is the last thing I'll say about it, but if you look at $70 for the game, which gets you 180 characters, and then now you're having to pay 17, which is like, or 18 really, and if we round it up to 20 basically, like that's for just 11. I don't know, man. That's a big stretch. That's a pretty, like, maybe you throw in Pan, you throw in Gotenks, you throw in, you know, a few other like superhero specific characters, and like you get a little more evened out. But like,
I feel like I just need something outside of characters. Like there needs to be some value outside of characters.
Yeah, and stages and story mode DLC, and then you're really talking there. But one outfit for Piccolo, and then three custom battles that are so whatever. And
one outfit that he, as soon as it wouldn't make sense for him to wear it, he transforms out of it like nothing happens. That was also, that kind of bugged me a little bit, but I get it. But at the same time, it's like, oh, okay. When he goes orange, it just snaps off.
So episode 15, Third Eye of Dragon Ball Daima, the key moments, review/overview of this episode. Dotto, what all happened in this episode, man?
Well, I mean, honestly, nothing. Let me start with this, Nano. I want to say, if you watch our key moments, like key members reaction and stuff, I was pretty harsh on it. Oh, they could just become a member either here on YouTube or on Patreon. You didn't know that? Yeah, if you sign up, you get all sorts of bonus content and you can watch our reactions and stuff. You didn't know that?
Yeah, there's a join button on YouTube, or you can just go to patreon.com/keymoments and you can join over there and support the podcast by doing that. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. I came off harsh, and it's not because, I don't know, I came off harsh. And then we kind of took a little break. You know, I went to go open some mail, and then I was like, I was a little harsh. And now after we talked about it, I'm remembering it, I got pissed off again. So now I'm going to be harsh again. So I do want to know that there was a good 20 minutes where I had cooled down on this episode. But unfortunately, Anna, this was another one that pissed me off. I'm not going to lie. This is the second Daima episode to actively piss me off, and it's because of Hybus. Let's take it off from the start, though. This episode mostly takes place right where we left off. We are pinned down outside of the demon realm castle that we want to get to. That's pretty much it. We're pinned down the entire time.
Super important that Glorio is obviously not shared with the rest of the group. And I kind of forgot this mid-reaction. Like, oh yeah, no one else would know this besides Glorio. They still think they're trying to get the Tamagami 1 to fight Tamagami 1 and get the first Dragon Ball. So that's like the current group's objective, because they don't know what Glorio knows. And that's that Arinsu already has the first Dragon Ball. Sorry, go ahead.
That's it. I mean, literally, we're just pinned down outside of there. Like that, we're trying to get there. We're pinned down. Last week, I kind of went into this episode thinking that it was going to move a little quicker or progress more, but it kind of feels very clipped out. Maybe that's on purpose. Maybe not. I don't think we necessarily got any closer to our goals. It's a very... Yeah, we plummet in. I don't know how direct you want to be on the episode's details, but it felt so out of character. A big portion of the drama and the action comes from the Z Fighters versus dudes with guns, dudes with lasers
that are able to stun tanks. And actually do stun, like stun Goku lasers. And Vegeta and Piccolo, which doesn't feel all that realistic. They do try to hype up these guns quite a bit, and they also, like they say, they could last for a long time, and if they... Hans even says at one point, like, if you get hit in just the right spot, like, it'll completely paralyze you. And, like, yeah, it feels a lot of all of a sudden, this whole time, you know, let's disregard what Goku did to Tamagami 3 and everything like that. Let's disregard what Vegeta did to Tamagami 2. And let's actually pretend, again, like, the Z Warriors can't just go into a form and blast all these guys away in 2 seconds. Like, that's how this episode felt.
The whole time, like... You brought up this is very Dragon Quest-y, which a lot of this show has kind of been. But the big problem is, like, this would have been awesome. Like, this is a fiery village on fire, like, fighting scene. This would be so cool if we weren't watching three guys who, in this very same episode later, Goku goes Super Saiyan, and damn near, like, obviously some of this was just for visuals, but he blows up damn near, like, a nuclear bomb-esque, like, explosion shot for one Super Saiyan Ki Blast. It's like... This kind of tension doesn't work with these kind of characters because we just know that they can so easily handle the situation if they just do something different. That's a really big thing with Daima that eats up a lot of its potential to be a grounded adventure story. Like, you know, looking back, I'm not going to give this episode credit because it was very fillery. That was our main complaint with it. But Planet Mega felt a little bit, it was Planet Mega, right?
Yes, yeah, Mega, because Giga was the bigger one.
That's how to do this a little better, because, yeah, they were a little useless there, but they weren't necessarily trying to kill the guy. They weren't trying to, like, shoot him down or anything, and they were just trying to, like, play around him and, like, keep him away from a ship that he could easily break. So they're playing keep away, basically. So it goes over a little easier there, even though part of it was like, oh, man, they're doing all this to fight off a dog. Here it feels even worse. It's like we've seen Goku one shot an entire army of these guys, and it was played for laughs and giggles. It was like, oh, whoa, look at him go. Oh, he's bodying him. And now you're telling me we've got Vegeta, Piccolo, Goku. Even Glorio's got some electric magic. Glorio's more understandable, though. But yeah, no, it didn't work here.
I was running. Yeah, it was very strange. So... the real key takeaways, I think, beyond it's just a lot of, I feel like this does kind of fall into some of the action that it doesn't feel very stakesy, because it doesn't really make a lot of sense based on the other things that we know. That's kind of where this comes from. But the big, I guess, key takeaways from this episode specifically are the fact that the third eye was the thing on Hybus's belt, which is the thing that grants the Supreme Demon King, like, substantial more power, and we get what I think maybe some people might consider almost like a cinema type sin, which is a actual cut-in in the middle of Goma telling the Gesu to go get the third eye from Hybus in any way possible. All of a sudden, Dragon Ball, for the first time ever,
I wouldn't be confident saying that, but if this happened in Hunter x Hunter, it would have made like a little more, it would have felt a little more natural, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's a cut-in. It actually stops the show for a second and basically says, like, hey, we're going to explain to the third eye to you. Like, it actually does that. That is actually in this episode. It felt jarring. Like, I'm not saying that, like, they can't do it, because they did, obviously, but it did feel a bit jarring for Dragon Ball, and they essentially just explained that the third eye is a thing that's been passed down from Demon King to Demon King, up until Abra to Deborah, and the reason Hybus has it is because Abra was the Demon King at the time, and Deborah schemed with this little cricket tick-looking thing to go steal the third eye, and in the process of the little cricket stealing it, takes it into the third demon realm because he goes through the portals and stuff because they were still open at this time, takes it into the third demon realm and gets bopped by one of the like locals there, and it gets lost until Hybus finds it. So it's literally because of Deborah literally schemed against his father to steal this, and because of doing so, it's now been lost, and then Hybus finds it much later, and that's why it's on Hybus's belt. And in the process of showing this, they do show that there is a transformation state to putting this on. So when Goma gets this, he will transform to some extent. They show this like an
ultimate. Yeah, it's the ultimate power of the Demon Kings.
Yes.
And Deborah took it to weaken his father, which, look, I want to be on the record right now. I actually do not mind the narrator, even though he's speaking Japanese, I can't really understand him. I liked his voice. I liked that he was like, "Da Buddha, ah Buddha." Like, I liked his voice. I thought the quality was cool. I think seeing the Demon Realm politics was nice. The Tick character was, he had some cool action scenes, and it was funny when he got bonked on the head and died. I liked all of it, except for the fact that I don't like it in concept. I don't like that this hugely important thing that's going to facilitate what we believe to be, I mean, we're saying Goma, but so easily this could go on any character and unleash a...
The Gesta could do this too.
This, honestly, what if, Nano, this could be Demon Super Saiyan 4, Third Eye Super Saiyan 4 Goku.
And this is true. You're right.
Literally, this is going to be a huge money-making thing. And one, it was just on fucking Hybus, who I hate, who has done nothing, who has saved the crew zero times. He's a walking backfire for the crew, which, one, I already hate Hybus, so I hate this. Two, I don't like that we just had a filler episode where nothing happened. Why the fuck was this not, like, why couldn't we see, like, some old politics?
Yeah.
Or what, like, couldn't we see this from, like, maybe this would, maybe, like, we reveal a little bit more of, like, maybe Glorio calls in, like, "Hey, we're stuck on this planet," to, like, what's-her-face. And then she thinks to herself or explains, then maybe it's time to initiate, like, "I got to start looking for the third eye" or something. I don't know. Something where we can get this information a little more naturally on why it's important, and maybe get a flashback to this politics scene instead of just, like, again, we got in all that beef with the Diamond community because this is, like, writing. This is the story. This is the adventure. What the fuck is the story and adventure of? Let me explain, audience. The reason this is important is because this happened. What's of you? Come on now.
Yeah, I think some of my favorite episodes, again, were labeled as meatheads just because I think it's easier to listen to our first 5 minutes, and we usually like to chuckle and make jokes then. But I've enjoyed a lot of episodes where there's a lot of just like genuine lore drops, and it would have been really cool. I mean, you just said it would have been cool if it would have just been almost an entirely flashback episode, and instead of it just being this quick little like 2 minute sort of explanation, it was actually like all of a sudden we're back and we see like Deborah, and just, you were like, "Oh, okay, we're in the past and we're seeing like the explanation of the third eye." That would have been a much cooler way. Like an entire episode dedicated to that. Like, scrap some of the fighting that we didn't really need to see because we knew ultimately at the end of that fighting session, like, they won because we knew that Goku could, like, the whole time they were running, I'm like, "Dog, Goku could just turn around and go Kamehameha, boom." He didn't even have to even say the words. He just go boop, and like, they're all done. Like, the Gendamari is wiped out of existence, bro. So I would have much preferred all that screen time being used for, like you said, some politics in the past, bro.
Maybe not even scheming. You're right. Like, I don't even need, it's not even so much that they didn't write it in. I'm not asking for some pseudo intellectual, like, fucking, like, change the plot to get it in a cooler way. But even if they just wanted to do this, I would have preferred just a cold open where it's in universe.
Yes.
And like, maybe, yeah, like you're saying, like, Deborah walks up. We're in the past.
That Deborah is there. We're like, yeah, we're like, wait. Yeah.
And then it just, like, maybe it can, like, transition out of showing it on his belt, so we know it's on his belt. And then they can say, like, "Oh shit, that's it on his belt." And then the whole thing can be exactly the same. It would still piss me off because Hybus, but at least it wouldn't pluck me, like, "Hello, audience. Guess what? We had a mishap in the writer's room. I got to explain some stuff. So let's, but So yes, I don't like that. So the whole crowd, and then like he said, Degesu has to go get it. Goma wants it. And I guess they send his strategy was to send a girl after Hyvus.
That's not the guess. Yeah,
transformed. Yeah. He really got after it if that was the case. Then it goes back to like some Dragon Ball style here, like early Dragon Ball. It's like, I'll give you a kiss for that sweet belt. He's like, nah, trade me your hat. And then she gets his hat and she gets the belt and that's it.
Yep. So
thank you, Hyvus, once again being the greatest character in the Dragon Ball franchise. Thank you again.
That's really the key takeaway here, is that they do have the third eye now, and that Hyvus literally traded it for a funny looking hat. And then Pansy's father shows up to save the Z Warriors. Also, there was a really funny moment that they used music for. All of Pansy's like father and crew like have really done it, and like they're, you know, they've succeeded, and then like it's all this happy music, and then it just stops because their ship gets completely exploded. And that was
I think if a real genuine Z meathead saw this episode, they would have complaints, because they get saved by the, you know, Pansy's father and stuff like you're saying, because Goku, Vegeta, and Piccolo got shot by a tank and are currently, like, they're going to die, basically, as they're stunned and about to get shot point blank. And then you're right. That again, highs and lows. This episode had the high of probably the funniest bit in the whole show. They have, like, the Dimas success song. It's like, dah, dah. I can't remember right now, but it ramps up. It's a shot of them. And then on the final beat, they get shot and explode. And it's like, you know, you believe it for like a few seconds. They only hold on it for a few seconds of the show, but that shit had us giggling, bro. We were fucking, you know, that was a good little, was funnier by a multitude of 100 than anything Hyvus has ever done. So not a high bar, but a Hyvus bar, if you will. And congratulations to Dima for getting a laugh there. That was good. In fact, I'm going to go back right now and I just want to hear the music, because that shit was good.
That pretty much summarizes this episode, though. That's really all you need to know about this episode, is that the third eye is something that's going to give Goma lots of powers. It is the thing that was on Hyvus' belt. They traded it off Hyvus' belt, and they now have it. And the episode ends. Next week's episode is called Degesu. And the big thing takeaway from there, we see some Gendamare, but we do see Degesu holding Dende with a gun to his head. So I would like to believe we are now in the final five episodes of this series. This was the true final, like, laying the foundation for the final act of this series. That's like, I believe that so heavily. If you've missed our previous podcasts and you're like, well, how do you guys know? We pretty much had a soft confirmation from Hulu. It is a 20 episode series. So it does end on episode 20. So we only have, you know, five episodes left, and what feels like still probably quite a bit to get through based on current pacing. So we do have some book club stuff that I thought would be interesting to bring up here. And
go ahead.
Some people had some interesting takes. I'll start here with Zelda Stuck. Unless you have anything else you want to add to this episode, Dotto. I feel like
I think we went over it all and then some.
Zelda Stuck says, if I'm being completely honest, I'm hedging all my last minute hype moment bets on the fusion bug having its own unique fusion design. And I agree. I think the entire purpose of it being a bug and not being Fusion Dance and not being the earrings is like, it has to be different. It wouldn't be Vegito. Don't know what that would be, but that's why I think it'll be not Vegeta and Goku. But Vegeta, oh, that is another one. Vegeta did eat a bug today. So even though he said he wouldn't eat bugs before, he ate a bug today. It was essentially the bug that replenished his stamina like a Senzu bean. So he did eat a bug. So I don't know if that was supposed to be like a minor, like, oh, look, he ate a bug. So maybe he'll eat the fusion bug. Anyways, as opposed to Potara and Metamorin / Fusion Dance designs, and this is mainly for the safest inevitable Goku-Vegeta fusion combo, I would be happily surprised at Goku fusing with anyone else. So do you agree that if they use the bugs, it'll be a different design? I do.
I think it would definitely be a design. I still kind of hope it won't just be them, though. I don't know. I don't know necessarily why. I think it would still be exciting if it was them, obviously, but it's just a chance to do something new, I guess. But who knows? Maybe it's going to be them against somebody. Maybe I'll still get my wish for a new character if we go doing coup. But
I do still hope they fuse. I really need them.
You want them to fuse?
I don't want. They're not the fusion, because they can absorb. They're Majins.
Yes. I meant Goku and Vegeta. Are you on team? You want them to fuse though?
Yes.
Like you want it to be them?
Yes. I still don't think I'm team SSJ4 anymore. There is a comment in here that's really good. I don't think I'm team SSJ4 anymore. I think it'll be Super Saiyan 3 of Vegito. I think Super Saiyan 3 Vegito is the thing. Maybe it's both. I don't know. I just that feel might like, be asking too much.
For some reason, and I know people are going to disagree, so I'm saying this to be disagreed with. Not as rage bait, but for me, Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta is honestly more hype than a Super Saiyan 3 Vegito, because I don't know why. I don't know if there's something in my brain that makes that cooler to me. But Vegeta doing it, Vegeta doing it, I feel like, oh, there he goes. You know, people said he couldn't do it, but like nobody thought Vegito couldn't do it. It's just like he just didn't. But now, I guess that's what it is. In my brain, Vegito could have always done that shit. He just didn't do it.
Bro,
like, that's
when
all
we're
it was.
Watching that episode and Vegito goes SSJ 3, you and I are both going to be screaming at that shit. So, like, that's all I know, bro.
I mean, will it be exciting? Yes, obviously. Is it going to be a fusion? Yes. I mean, that's it. I will be happy for it. Yeah, I guess I don't know who else would fuse. So, it's... You know, it's whatever. Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. Next point.
Comic Kino says, Goku and Shin fusing would be that Budokai 2 level what if bullshit that I live for, not going to lie.
Yeah, you know, I am a game what if enjoyer, so yeah. That might be what's causing it for me.
Same. Mark the Shark says, they go out of their way to mention the first demon world has a sun-like sphere that orbits the world, and we still not going to get Super Saiyan 4.
I feel like we... What? Because the evil eye transformation. What if it is evil eye Super Saiyan 4? Because but that is the perfect way for them to not have access to that form again.
I guess that's fair. But like,
they're not going to have access to the eye.
Have a third eye though somewhere on his body, and I don't like.
I think low key, Nano. Are we kind of like switching up? Because I actually think Super Saiyan 4 is going to happen now. Low key, because the eye, I don't know. What if it's Super Saiyan Demon Vegito, dude. Evil Eye?
All right. Bro.
God, that's the most fucking. That might be, if that happens, I want an apology from every diamond motherfucker on Twitter, dude. If they end the adventure series with Super Saiyan Demon Eye Vegito 3, I want an apology in fucking italicized ink, dude. I want them to use a feather pen and quill to fucking apologize to me. That is the most DeviantArt shit of all time. That shit would sell millions.
I mean, you're not wrong, but that's not
happening.
Oh
my god, so. That I pissed myself off just talking about that.
Thunder 49 says, did Donald roll his mic cover on the floor of a barbershop before recording this?
It's because my cat brushes up against it. It still looks like
that
now.
There were so many comments about that, I had to include one. I had to. All right, so we already talked about Sage, so here we go. Josh hits us with book club. SSJ4 Goku is making a comeback. This storyline is a love letter from Akira to the series, as well as a tribute to Dragon Ball GT. He mentioned that when designing SSJ4 Goku, he wished he had come up with it himself. This new story clearly draws inspiration from Super Saiyan 4, and it looks like a fusion is definitely on the horizon. Get ready for Super Saiyan 4 Goku, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's wrong anymore. I used to think that.
I wanted to bring this final comment up, book club this week before we rate the episode, just because it's something we talked about so heavily last week. But here we go. Crazy J says, to the point there wasn't enough adventure for the second Demon Realm, I think the idea Toriyama was trying to establish is that there isn't anything left to explore. Therefore, no adventure to have like the third Demon Realm. As far as I recall, there are five races mentioned in the second Demon Realm. Namekians, world destroyed. Glins, world destroyed. Megas had an episode, but a describe is laid back, and so they generally keep to themselves. Nothing happens there because they are so big and not even worth fighting. Giga, same as Megas, but even more emphasized. Krakens have run-ins with the main cast. Where the third Demon Realm had very much slice of life and bandits type people to explore and flesh out, the second Demon Realm was largely deserted. Not a bad thing, but just something to separate the worlds and make it quicker to advance the plot to the next Demon World. It's not bad.
I don't think it's bad. I think we talked about that a little bit. I just feel like the adventure, like the, I don't know. I guess I would have preferred if they wanted to do that. I think it would have, the point would have marinated way more if we didn't do the camp out on Planet Mega. And then also if we didn't do the mention that there's also an even cooler, more dangerous Planet Giga. So But I get your point, and I think that is probably the idea. I just think that makes the inclusion of the episode worse for having that. It's not getting more adventure.
Well, that does bring us to time to rate the episode. Dotto, as a reminder, episode 13, you gave a 5. Episode 13, I gave a 7. Episode 14, you gave a 7, and I also gave a 7.
Damn.
I don't think I've held up my hand in a while, so I'll let you go first. I already have my score.
Okay. You already flashed on the screen,
too? Yeah, they've already seen mine.
I feel bad for saying this, because if somebody just watches these podcasts maybe like years later, they're going to be like, oh shit, that dude was hyped. He thinks it's going to get better and better. And here I am right now about to say that this episode, I'm giving a 5, and I'm being generous. Like, I'm being generous on this one. This one actively pissed me off. I can't remember what the other episode that pissed me off was.
Episode 9.
Oh, it was the plane one. Yeah, it was the plane. Yeah. That one was worse than this, but this one is Hybus doing it. So that hurts. So yeah, I'm going 5 on this one.
I also gave it a 5, which is my lowest score to date for Dragon Ball Daima. I'm standing by my 5 because I think that we're stalling out a bit here, and I don't think you can do that shit in a third act of a limited series. And I know I sound like a broken fucking record saying that, but my God, you have to take into account it is a limited series. We are not going on weeks and weeks and weeks. This isn't 100 plus episodes. This is 20 episodes. This does not feel like an episode that was in a limited 20 episode series. Like, I don't know.
Can I say something that also, because I don't want people to think this is a meathead take, so I want to give a nuanced take as to why is bad.
I am a meathead, and you are too.
I am too.
People
I
use it too. As a crutch for our just genuine real criticisms of the show. It's kind of, it's like, okay.
Because people will bring up that it's an adventure show, but if anything, this episode serves as proof that the adventure aspect of the show could have been handled way better, because what we get here is the typical standard. The journey along the way has allowed us to advance forward. Like everybody, like the people we saved came back to help us. Like, you know, the people you met are here, like with Pansy's dad. Only the problem is it literally is just Pansy's dad. That's it. That's all the people that came to help, because we didn't meet anybody else. We don't know anybody else. And to be honest, we barely did shit for these people. Goku showed up, showed he was strong, and they were like, fuck it, dude. You're kind of cool. And that's it. That's all the interaction we have. So them showing up here, I don't know if you agree, it does nothing for me. I like the characters. I like her dad. I like the sword woman. But that's it. I don't know their names, as you can tell by my description.
Yeah, it's Kazan. His name is King Kazan. But no, I'm
sword
I'm with
woman's
you.
Name?
They didn't.
I don't even know if she has one, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. But listen, you're right. They didn't. Like in most adventure type shows, I keep bringing this one up, but it's just the one I think of because like it just blew me away so much. I'm sorry, but it's like Frieren. Like there are multiple characters that you meet along the way in the adventure of Frieren, and when they show back up, and especially if they show back up in a moment like this where you're like, oh God, like Piccolo, Vegeta, and Goku are stunned, bro. Like what's gonna happen? Which by the way, this is Dragon Ball, so it's not quite like Frieren. We know that Goku, Vegeta, and Piccolo aren't going, like they're not losing, bro. Like they are them, you know what I mean? Like they are not losing. But like that was definitely supposed to be a moment, like you're saying, to be like, oh shit, dude, yeah, they saved him, let's go. Like we barely know these characters to even be like that stoked to see that reveal from them, because they, I don't know. Like they just didn't.
They were one and done outside of Hybus. It's not like we crossed over or anything else. I don't know. It just this isn't good payoff to an event, like to the event. Like, you know what scene does this same kind of feeling, but better. And you know, there's still other episodes for them to potentially do stuff with, but I don't think the point, like now that we're in the climax, it's too late for me to get to attach to these characters in an adventuring sense. They might do some cool action, but, when, you know, whenever Goku's charging up a spirit bomb and the anime cuts to like all the different characters that aren't really in the story, but like used to be like a launch or like, you know, all these different characters that you don't see, like an Aider or, you know, things like this. It's like, oh yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. Like the journey mattered. Yeah. I remember these guys. Oh, this is cool. Here it's like, who the fuck cares? Like, dude. I don't fucking care. I don't. You know this could have been anybody. This could have just been a crew of freedom fighters.
But hang on, though, Dada. You know what would have got us to both pop off?
What's that?
What if Tamagami 3 had saved him?
See, that would be cool, because Tamagami 3 and, like, that would be sick. And it would, yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah, I feel like even though we didn't spend hardly any time with him, he had so much character and so much just on-screen, like, charm that seeing him again and him being there to save Goku, because, like, he, you know, like, that would have just been,
like,
that would have been a much better payoff to me.
No, this is cringe fan right again coming, right? But a way that they could have paid it off and still been like cheesy Dragon Ball fan shit is like, we saw Tamagami 3 practicing the Kamehameha after he was impressed by it. What if he saved them with a big Kamehameha? That would have been fucking cool, dude. Like, if he just saved them with that shit.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh shit, it's Tamagami 3.
I think they still will have their moment, by the way. I think they will come in.
You actually think they'll come? I would like that. I would like that.
Yeah. I think they will still most certainly have a moment like that. But like, this could have been the one that was maybe just Tamagami 3, and then like it's like all of them later on. But I do think the Tamagamis will come in and serve some other purpose later on. And I'm still not totally writing off the table that they might just have some massive Tamagami fusion, but anywho.
Tamagami 123.
All right, guys. Well, let us know what you think of Daima so far, specifically Daima Episode 15 Book Club. I just love seeing you guys' theories on Super Saiyan 4. Is it Vegito, Super Saiyan 4, or both? And maybe I shouldn't ask this because Dotto's apparently seen something. So, you know what? Book Club, what is your most anticipated game of 2025? Let's keep it away from the Daima stuff. I'm afraid you guys might have access. You're in some like leaked Discord server and you're like, I'm going to let Nano know the entire ending.
I know, by the way, I know you secret Discord motherfuckers are out there. They've got to be convening at this moment. So, they know what's going to happen. I think it's a pretty much official that the ending is out there now. Okay. I think it's probably out there. I didn't see that. What I saw was just somebody else talking about a Geekdom report about, it wasn't no visuals, no visual shit, no super big thing.
Okay.
But I think it is safe to assume that the Discord cabal has access to some of the finale episodes, or at least some of the finale concepts.
Okay. Well, then in that case, Book Club watchers that have made it this far, let me know your most anticipated game of 2025. Let's keep it tame. We're flying too close to the sun.
We're getting a little too close. The cabal is after us, guys. It's probably none of us, but it could be any of us. We don't know.
Donald's in there and this freaking all the cow.
It could be me. I don't, it could be me.
Shit.
Can't trust nobody.
All right. Anyways, guys, have a great day. And we appreciate you guys supporting the podcast. And more importantly, Dotto, I think I hear the music, man.
The music is pretty loud. It's playing us out.
Man, I guess we'll see you guys next week. Bye!